Let us pray. God, on this beautiful fall morning, we gather to worship and honor you. And we pray that you will be with us as we spend time in your word to help us to think and to be mindful about the way we live. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. A friend of mine named Julie has a car that she calls the puppy wagon because she uses it to haul around all of her animals in it. And she would say that, if truth be told, she really does not care at all how it looks. If you were to sit down in it, the first thing you would notice, as I noticed many times, is it smells like dog inside. There's snout marks on the windows, and some of them have been there for a long time. She tried to get the puppy wagon. It tries to get it into the shop for an oil change once in a while, now and then, but not nearly as often as she should. I mean, there are a few things broken on this car. The automatic locks don't work, but you can work them manually, so that doesn't need to be fixed. There's some gashes on the dashboard where one of her dogs got too excited about another dog outside, but hey, you know, those are just love marks. The dashboard doesn't work right. In fact, there seems to be some sort of generic electrical problem. As she's driving, it blinks and shows strange symbols. She just turns the radio up louder and keeps on driving. She can't remember the last time she washed the puppy wagon, but that's why God created rain, right? For Julie, a vehicle is just about getting from point A to point B. She'll drive it till it drops. By contrast, my friend Kevin treats his 2012 Ford Taurus like a baby. He's got custom hubcaps. He's got this spoiler thing on the back. It's immaculate, inside and out. No snout marks on his windows. In fact, no animals are allowed in that car. In fact, as a friend, I was barely allowed in this Ford Taurus. I mean, it gets regular service on the money. If somebody dings the side of the door in a parking lot, he's got this little kit, and within 24 hours, it's just good as new. And riding with him, once I was thinking, I was almost convinced that if we were in an accident and both his Taurus was damaged and I was hurt lying on the side of the road, he would say to me, "I'll be back in a minute. I've got to take my Ford into the shop here." Now, I'm exaggerating here, but Kevin actually is a chaplain I used to work with. He's a great guy. But you get the picture here. Some people take really good care of their vehicles and some people don't. How many of you are like Kevin? You take care of your vehicle and it's spotless all the time. Okay, a little neurotic, but we'll forgive that. How many of you are more like Julie, like me? You just kind of let it go, okay. We drive the other people nuts, but that's one of our gifts, I guess. Here's a much more serious question for us to think about this morning. And you needn't raise your hand on this one. How many of us treat our bodies like Julie treats the puppy wagon? If your body were a vehicle, what condition would it be in? Well, you may say, "John, you know, that sounds like a topic for a TV health program or a discussion with my doctor rather than a church sermon." But hold on a minute here. As we continue in our sermon series about powerful spiritual living, we come to a passage of Scripture where the Apostle Paul wants to talk to us about precisely that, our bodies, how we treat them, and why that matters at all. So let's dive into this text, see where it takes us. You know, there are many issues that arise when we begin talking about our bodies. And this morning, none of us has any standing, especially if we've ever eaten a White Castle slider. None of us has ever any standing to judge what other people put into their bodies. There's a whole list of things that we can do or cannot do that constitute neglect. And all of us struggle with this. Now, here's just a short list of the kind of issues that arise when we talk about this kind of thing. Not getting enough sleep. not taking adequate Sabbath rest or time for recreation. Too much stress. Actually, it's not so much the stress, but not managing the stress that's in our lives. Not getting enough exercise. Avoiding the doctor. Or if you go to the doctor, you don't do what the doctor tells you to do. Avoiding counseling about emotional issues that we then take out on our body. Abusing drugs, even prescription ones. Reckless sexual activity. Eating the wrong food. Eating too much food. And the list could go on and on, but we get the idea. And you know what? The danger in a list like this or a sermon like this is that our first tendency will be to think of somebody else who really needs to hear this sermon. So let's just get that out of our system right now. I invite you to turn to your spouse or your neighbor or your friend you're sitting next to, and I invite you to say to them, you really need to hear this. No, okay. Now, if your neighbor just said that to you, I invite you to give them a little smack back and say, physician, heal thyself. Because if the truth be told, if we were to conduct a survey here this morning and we were to answer honestly, 100% of us sitting here this morning would need to acknowledge that there's at least one thing on this list, and perhaps several things that we need to work on. So today's sermon is not about judging others. It's not even about judging ourselves. And I'm just going to tell you, you know what I struggle with the most when it comes to this issue? It's regular exercise. Christian and I just had a talk about that last night. You know, there's a lot of stress involved in ministry. And your schedule is crazy sometimes. You can't control how things go this way or that way. And, you know, I could come up with all kinds of excuses. The Lilly Center was closed most of the summer and all that. But it's not something that I've regularly managed to integrate into my schedule. So I'm talking with you as one who's working on this too. But we have to talk about it because we're not the kind of church that brings people in here on Sunday, beats you up a little, makes you feel worse, and then you go home feeling worse than you came. We're not the kind of church that's into giving righteous rebukes to people. But we are the kind of church that wants to talk about what is real and what we really need to work on and to encourage and support one another in doing better as God gives us grace. And when it comes to doing better and taking care of our bodies, this is very important. God gives us these earthen vessels. Your body has been given to you as a sacred trust. And God and others who love you are counting on you to be a good steward of that body so that you can be around long enough to be the blessing to those loved ones that you can be and so that your life can be blessed by them over time. You know, I was thinking the other day, there are not many people in this world, statistically speaking, who would ever commit suicide using a gun or pills, something like that. But there are, I think, a whole lot of people in this world who are slowly committing suicide by neglecting their bodies. And what I'm talking about today in terms of caring for our bodies is not just the span of life, or I'm also talking about the quality of life. Because, you know, you can have an incredibly strong spirit, but if your body is struggling, it can sometimes, be difficult for your soul to soar. We can be incredibly devout people who love God and love other people and who are tending to and nurturing our soul even while neglecting our bodies because we think that taking care of our bodies has nothing to do with our spirituality. That is, by the way, exactly how many of the Corinthian Christians were seeing it. We know that because that's what Paul addresses today in 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 22. In the Corinthian church at the time, there were people whom New Testament scholars sometimes call libertines. Libertines are people who are overreacting, really, to legalists. Legalists are people who think that spirituality and religion is all about keeping rules. Jesus, of course, came to free us from living a spiritual life as merely a bunch of laws that we're supposed to keep. And the Apostle Paul was a big advocate for that. He was a big believer that we have freedom in Christ. We're not under the Mosaic Law. We're not under any kind of updated Mosaic Law. In fact, in one of his letters, the Apostle Paul says to the church in Galatia in chapter 5, "You who want to be justified by the law, the Mosaic Law, you have cut yourselves off from Christ. You have fallen away from grace." So Paul was a big advocate that you and I are free in Christ. There's nobody that has standing to tell you what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it. That's between us and the Lord, because Christ has set us free. But the libertines were taking that concept, our freedom in Christ, to an extreme, almost falling into this anything goes sort of attitude, especially when it came to their bodies. They had certain slogans, these libertines. And we know that because Paul quotes two of these slogans in today's scripture reading. The first slogan is found in verse 12. "All things are lawful for me." Paul is quoting them back. And that's why this is in quotes in many of your Bibles. "All things are lawful for me. We are free in Christ." The second slogan is in verse 13. "Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other." You see what they're saying here. Their point was, this body is temporal. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It will eventually be sloughed off. And it's our soul that lives eternally in its current state. And so these libertines reasoned that since my body is going to die, what I eat, what I do with my body doesn't matter. It's the eternal soul that matters. And therefore, since all things are permissible for me, I can do whatever I want with my body. And Paul responds to this kind of thinking in verse 12. Look what he says there. He begins by quoting back this slogan, "All things are lawful for me." In other words, Paul is starting out by saying, "I agree. Technically, theologically, you're correct. We are free in Christ. But just because all things are lawful," Paul says, "doesn't mean that all things are beneficial. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because I'm free to do something doesn't mean that it's good for me or for the people around me." And then Paul quotes the slogan another time, "All things are lawful for me, yes, but I will not be dominated by anything." Here he's talking about, I think, what we would call addictions. Here's an example. As a follower of Jesus Christ, technically, theologically, there's no rule to govern our use of alcohol. So technically speaking, I'm free to drink as much as I want. But what a shame it would be to find freedom in Christ only to end up in bondage to something like that, to alcohol, to some addiction, to some bodily craving. So Paul is saying two key things to us in this text. He's saying, use your freedom responsibly. Be careful in giving your body over to something or some activity, such as sexual addiction, that affects your body adversely. And he says, when you're deciding what you're going to do with your body, take a moment and think, is this going to be good for me? And not just in the moment, but over time. And is this going to be good for the people around me? True story here. Gerald, and I've changed the name here. Gerald was on a trip with his company for some training away from his wife and children when he met this woman. It was a co-worker. They met in a session, and they kind of had this chemistry going on. That night he'd heard a knock on his hotel door, and Gerald opened it to see her standing there. And without a word, she just walked right into the room. Sensing the moment, he says to her, I'm not sure this is such a good idea that you're here. She said, "What's the matter? Are you scared?" And began acting seductively. He, as gently as he can, says, "You know, I don't think that this would be good for you, and I don't think that this would be good for me." you need to leave. So she does. A couple of months later, Gerald says he's back at the same place for further training, and during the day, he crosses paths with this same woman. She says, "Can we talk?" And he thinks, "Oh, gosh, here we go again." But she said, "I want to thank you. You're the first man I've met in a long time who cares about me more than just my body." She went on to share with him some experiences she had had in the past that had shaped her approach to sexual behavior. And she said, "But when I met you, when I was reminded that there are men who care about more than just my body, but actually care about me, it made me realize how I was feeling about myself. So I realized that I needed to get it together. I'm back in my church now. Thank you." Now, what a beautiful example of how we can use our freedom in Christ. We're called to use it thoughtfully, responsibly, carefully. Would this be good for me? Would this be good for you? You may be thinking, "Wow, John, you've gone from preaching to meddling today. You're preaching about sex and what we eat and all that. You know, you're really stepping on some toes." That's not what we're about. We're not the kind of church that rebukes people or tries to make people feel bad. You know why? Because guilt has so little power to make us spiritually mature. We're a church that calls ourselves to, but we are a church that calls ourselves to think about what really matters. This isn't about stepping on toes or about me acting like I'm morally superior and talking to you. We all struggle. This is about getting real, owning our own stuff, and then thinking about how can I do better. So Paul's first point, the first of two he makes in this chapter, when it comes to taking care of your body, consider how it's going to affect you, how it's going to affect others over time, but choose wisely. But then he goes to the end of the chapter here, and it's one of the most famous passages in the New Testament. And he says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price." And he's talking about Jesus' work on the cross. "Therefore, glorify God in your body." Do you know? Are you living with an awareness that your body is the temple of God's Spirit? What's a temple? A temple is a sacred space that has been devoted to worship, to service, and to the glory of God. So what Paul is saying here is that your body, my body, is sacred space. Every bit as sacred and holy as the Notre Dame Cathedral. Every bit as sacred and holy as St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. Every bit as sacred and holy as the sanctuary in which we gather here to worship every week. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a living, walking, breathing, unfathomable miracle of God. And yet, how often we treat these miraculous bodies like some of us treat our cars. We're just going to drive them into the ground. And I'm not saying this so that, again, so that you go out of here feeling guilty or ashamed. This really, I think, is about self-esteem. Do you realize how wonderful you are? The point is not that we should become obsessive about health and fitness. That's its own form of addiction and control. We're talking here just about balance. Recognize that spirit supports body, and that our body supports our spirit. To be holistic in our spirituality as a human being, we've got to tend to both our spirit and our body. So what would happen if we would go out of here today and take a next step, small or large, in better caring for our bodies? What would be that next step for you? With God's Spirit living in us, we can do that kind of thing. When you feel God's presence in your life, it helps you not just to cope with your stress, but also to think about different ways to better your own self. The God who loves you and me wants this, I think, for all of us. Wants this, I guess, harmonic convergence, where our spirit is supporting our body and our body is supporting our spirit. And so if we were to resolve to do that next step, not everything at once, but that next step forward, what would that be? For some of us, it might mean eating a healthier breakfast. Or for some of us, it might mean taking a walk around the block every day. For others, it might mean learning how to deal with stress better. And for others, it might mean I'm actually going to take a Sabbath day of rest one day a week. For others of us, it might mean stopping being sexually reckless. I'm going to treasure and care for my body. For me and Christian, it's working together to encourage each other to be at the gym regularly. I need to do that. Friends, we're free in Christ. And that freedom can empower us to do that which is beneficial. And there are people who are counting on you to be around for a long time, to bless them so that you can also be blessed. So what do you say? That we tap into God's power with the support of our friends, those who love us, and take that next step to better care for our bodies. God is our strength, not just spiritually, but also for our bodies as well. Amen.